Good evening, Eagle Country, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for everyday work and sports injuries, located here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state, orthosensi.com. It is Monday, March 22nd, and I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention something about the NCAA tournament. It has been absolutely crazy. I know this is a show where we focus more on high school athletics here in the area, but the NCAA men's basketball tournament has been out of control thus far. A lot of the favorites that you thought were going to go all the way and win it all, well, they haven't really fared so well. In particular, my Ohio State Buckeyes were stunned by Oral Roberts in the first round over the weekend. Oral Roberts goes on to get past Florida, so they're off to the Sweet 16. And they are not alone as a double-digit seed making it to the Sweet 16. Oregon State, a 12 seed, they're going to play in the Sweet 16, as will 11 seed Syracuse after getting some wins yesterday evening. And Loyola Chicago, they're an 8 seed, knocking off top-seeded Illinois. I don't know if anybody saw that one coming. Illinois was a pretty trendy pick to win the national championship. So who knows what's going to happen as we're in the midst of some games being played here on this Monday evening. Team that I'm really rooting for is Ohio. They're about the only other team left in the tournament that has any type of regional interest. Maybe UCLA, if you're on the Mick Cronin bandwagon. Of course, spent many, many years coaching the University of Cincinnati, and now he's tasked with trying to turn around UCLA and that prideful program, and we'll see if they are able to advance on as well. But it has certainly been an interesting tournament. Of course, again, taking part here in Indiana, the whole entire tournament being played at Purdue's Mackey Arena, Butler's Hinkle Fieldhouse, Indiana's Assembly Hall, Lucas Oil Stadium, among other places. So it's a really cool event seeing all these teams play here in the state of Indiana, but it's also been kind of weird watching it, not having the Dukes and the Kentuckys of the world in this tournament. Of course, some of the hometown teams, home state teams like Indiana, Notre Dame not making the tournament. Purdue gets knocked out in the first round by North Texas. So again, all the teams that a lot of people in this part of the world usually pull for aren't in the tournament, and I don't know about you, but it's kind of watering it down for me. It's been fun to watch, but maybe not as fun as it has been in the past, and maybe I'm in the minority of that group. But yeah, going forward, I'm hoping to see some good games and hoping to get a really intriguing national championship, but who knows, maybe one of these schools that has a double-digit number next to them will shock the world and do something crazy in Indianapolis later on this month and into early April. Now, while we were talking about collegiate sports, we want to talk a little bit about Mason Paris, because the last time we were talking a little bit about the Big Ten Championship, where he went up against Gable Steveson and really got dominated in that Big Ten Championship, but was the runner-up to a very, very good wrestler. And, well, not too far down the road, Mason Paris goes to the NCAA Wrestling Championships and makes it all the way to the National Championship, where he faced off with Gable Steveson, again on Saturday night. But to get to the finals, Mason won four matches. He made quick work of North Carolina's Andrew Gunning. Also defeated Northern Iowa's Carter Isley. In the quarterfinal round, well, it was pretty much the same. He went on to beat Rutgers' Ethan Laird. Major decision, 14-4. Laird was the 7 seed. Then he went up against the 6 seed out of Iowa State, Gannon Grammel, and he pinned him. I was actually watching that match over the weekend, and Mason looked really, really impressive and went into that national championship match on Saturday night against Gable Steveson. So you have the top two seeded wrestlers in the heavyweight division. Paris looking for a little bit of payback from the Big Ten Championship, and Mason did much better for himself in this match against Gable Steveson, but it was Steveson winning the national championship 8-4. And watching this match, Gable is just so hard to take down, even for an incredible wrestler like Mason Paris. Gable Steveson is something else, and up there at Minnesota, they have a rich wrestling tradition, and he's the first national champion they've had in quite some time, which is kind of crazy to think about with some of the greats that they've had walking those halls. Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin are a couple of the people that come to mind for me, but Gable Steveson is the next great there at Minnesota, and he's just a junior like Mason Paris, so you would think these two individuals have a really great chance of matching up yet again in the Big Ten Championship next year, and maybe even in the National Championship. And Mason Paris, this is crazy to think about. He's only lost three times over the past two seasons. He was 28-1 as a sophomore, has only lost to Gable Steveson. He only lost two matches this year. Those two losses to Gable Steveson. So Mason Paris, undoubtedly the second best wrestler in college wrestling. And hey, I know everybody always wants to be first. They want to root for their favorite to be first. But being second behind Gable Steveson, not that bad, not too shabby. And oh yeah, for Mason's efforts at the NCAA Wrestling Championships, he earned All-American status in Division I wrestling. So he's going to go down as one of the all-time greats there at Michigan. He's still got a year to go. Hopefully, he figures out a way to beat Gable Steveson. And this time next year, we're talking about Mason Paris as a national champion. But I certainly want to congratulate Mason on all the success that he has had thus far in his young life. Three-time state champion in the state of Indiana. He's been the runner-up in the Big Ten tournament a couple times and now the national runner-up. So he's done a lot of great things. A lot of more great things are to come for this young man, and we wish him nothing but the best. And congratulations on a phenomenal run there at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. This is Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority in Lawrenceburg and across the tri-state. Learn more about their great services and all their great doctors at OrthoCincy.com. That is OrthoCincy.com. The Indiana High School boys basketball season still rolling on with a few teams getting set to compete for a state championship coming up this weekend. Unfortunately, none of our area teams going to be competing at Bankers Life Fieldhouse for those state championships, but postseason awards have been coming out pretty steadily in the high school basketball, and some of the ones that recently came out have more to do with the student athletes doing really well in the classroom, but hey, that is a part of it, and we want to make sure that we are recognizing that great accomplishment in a couple different areas. We want to start out by talking team awards. Now, six area high school basketball teams were honored for getting good grades in the classroom. This coming from the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association, recently naming their 2020-2021 Girls and Boys Team Honors Court. Now, in order to make the Honors Court, a team's entire sectional roster had to average a GPA of 3.0 or higher on a 4.0 scale for the academic year. Now, Jacksonville, Switzerland County, and Batesville were all named to the Girls Team Honors Court. Jacksonville and Batesville have actually made that distinction 2 years in a row, with Switzerland County joining them in 2021. And then three teams from Eagle Country making the Boys Team Honors Court as well. They were East Central, Lawrenceburg, and Batesville. And EC and Batesville, they are no stranger to this list. They have made it 4 years in a row. And now you have the Lawrenceburg Tigers making that list as well. And it's not really a shock for the Tigers making that list. Now, Ashton Craig, Garrett Yoon, Daya Patel, those three individuals highly touted on the football field and have a lot of D1 offers coming their way. And well, for a couple of those kids, they're getting D1 offers from some big Ivy League schools. So you can see where some of the smarts come from with that Tigers program. But it was pretty much across the board with all those teams having great athletes and having great students as well. That's why they are called student athletes. And we certainly congratulate each and every one of those teams for making the Team Honors Court by the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association. Now, to kind of further along on that, there was several high school basketball stars that were recognized as individuals from the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association, naming their boys and girls academic all-state teams earlier last week. And for two young men here in Eagle Country, they made first team academic all-state, and that would be Rising Sun's Landon Cole and South Ripley's Cody Samples. Now, in order to make academic all-state from the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association, they took grade point average and academic class rank into consideration, and the athletic performance was a part of it as well. And for Cole and Samples, you could argue they were the best players on their teams, Rising Sun and South Ripley. Both can score the ball at a high clip. good rebounders. They get their teammates involved, play good defense as well. If you've seen them play, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But let's start with Landon Cole here because he had quite the academic success. He was actually chosen earlier this year as Ohio County's Lilly Endowment Community Scholarship winner, and he carries a 4.0 and is ranked fourth in his class. And he not only excels in academics, but we just talked about how he excelled as a basketball player, very good soccer player, actually the all-time leading scorer in Rising Sun boys soccer history, and is a very good baseball player as well, so much so that he is going to play college baseball at Franklin College. And Cole, on the baseball diamond, hit .416 as a sophomore, didn't get to play as a junior because of COVID-19, but knocked in 35 runs his sophomore year and scored another 26, and only struck out 4 times in 95 plate appearances. So very good eye, puts the ball in play, plays good defense as well, and can do a little pitching if you need him to. Maybe not where he's going to star at the collegiate level, but who knows? He's certainly got the talent to do a lot of different things, and we're looking forward to seeing what kind of success Landon will have at Franklin College as he continues his academic and athletic career. And while we're on the topic of Franklin College, they like to pluck a lot of good student athletes from this particular area because we just mentioned Cody Samples being an all-academic first team selection, and he too is going to go to Franklin College to continue his basketball career. Now, it's been well documented that Cody is the all-time leading scorer in South Ripley boys basketball history, breaking that record a little bit earlier this year. It was actually February 12th against South Dearborn. I had the great fortune of being on the play-by-play for that particular game, and Cody wasted no time. He only needed 5 points in that game to break the record. He ended up scoring 19, but he got the 5 points very early on in the contest, and he had a phenomenal career, obviously being the all-time leading scorer. But as a senior, 21.4 points per game, almost 5 rebounds, almost 6 assists, and over 2 steals a game. So athletically, on the basketball floor, you know what you're going to get from Cody, and you're also going to get a great student there as well, being named first team All-State academically. That is pretty great for both those young men, Landon Cole and Cody Samples. But that's not it in terms of academic All-State selections, because another 15 boys basketball players from right here in Eagle Country were named to that academic All-State team. They were honorable mention. You had a handful from East Central: Reed Cleary, John Hotel, Logan Rohrbacher, Aiden Connect, and J.J. Stinger. From Lawrenceburg, Reese Denning and Adam Bird. Rising Suns, Chris Bound and Colton Smith. A Milan trio of Josh Clark, Adam Norman, and Ethan Schwipps, a Batesville pair of RJ Powell and Leighton Ratcliffe, and Cody Samples' teammate and good friend Bryce Franklin. Also, several area girls earning honorable mention in terms of academic All-State as well. Jacksonville's Anna Hubbard, Dylan Hughes, Catherine Kuhn, South Dearborn's Megan Howe, East Central's Kyla Maxwell, Oldenburg Academy's Pam Manessis and Abby Haverkos, and Rising Sun's Maddie Wilson. So I lost count. A ton of local student athletes that starred in basketball and in the classroom this year. Congratulations to each and every one of those young men and women for their accomplishments, and we wish a lot of them, well, all of them, I believe, are seniors. We wish them all great luck moving forward, whatever college they may go into, if they go right into the workforce, continue with their athletic career, whatever it is, we wish all those young men and women the very best moving forward. Another topic I wanted to get to on this edition of Crunch Time is baseball. Yes, spring sports right around the corner here in Eagle Country. And I mentioned it last week, but with baseball and softball and some of these other spring sports that are getting ready to start up, this is going to be a very meaningful year for a lot of student athletes, not only here in Southeast Indiana, but across the rest of the state and even in the tri-state Ohio, Kentucky, because a lot of these kids did not get a chance to play their spring sports last year due to COVID-19. We're a little over a year removed from the first kind of shocking news that everything was getting shut down because of the pandemic. But this time around, everything has kind of been figured out how to move on with life and to play athletics and baseball, one of those sports that's right around the corner. And two of our area high school baseball teams are actually going to start out the season ranked in the top 10. This according to the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Association releasing their preseason polls earlier. Well, actually, it was just a Friday that they released these. But in Class 1A, Oldenburg Academy, number two in the state to start out the season. The only team ranked ahead of them is Daleville. So expecting big things from Oldenburg Academy this season. If you go back to the Twisters' last season of play, which would have been the spring of 19, they went 17-8-1, went all the way to the sectional championship, eventually lost to Rising Sun 6-0 in that sectional championship game. But certainly a lot of talent on that team. And I'm sure for the leftover players on the team that didn't get to play last year, they are certainly raring to go and ready to get back out there on the baseball diamond and perhaps get back to a sectional championship when you're ranked number two in the state. I think the expectations can start there. Certainly good enough on paper to go win the sectional and maybe even beyond that. You know, with a ranking like that, you start talking about getting to Victory Field up in downtown Indianapolis to play for a state championship. But those rankings are just rankings right now, and for Oldenburg, they have to go out there and prove that, and I'm sure they're going to be up to the task this year, going to be one of the better teams in the area. Speaking of which, South Ripley will be starting the season highly ranked in baseball as well. Class 2A, they are going to be ranked fifth to start the season, and this is a team that's very, very talented. We mentioned Bryce Franklin a little bit ago as an academic All-State honorable mention during the basketball season, but he is a very good baseball player. As a sophomore, Franklin did hit .375, which would be the tops coming back for the Raiders here this season with some of those juniors and seniors moving on. Since then, Cody Samples, the aforementioned Cody Samples, going to do some nice things for the Raiders baseball team. And Zach Gentile, he was a .355 hitter as just a freshman, and he can certainly blaze a trail on the base path. So those three young men have starred for the Raiders basketball team, and they're going to be among the core group of players leading the Raiders baseball team this spring, again, with that number five rank heading into the season. A couple other area teams did receive votes just outside the top 10 in Class 1A. You have Rising Sun, who we just talked about a couple years ago, defeated Oldenburg in the sectional championship game, and plenty of talent on this Rising Sun team as they look to be one of the better teams in the ORVC going into this season. We mentioned Landon Cole batting .416 as a sophomore. He's there for his senior year to lead the way. Some of the others on this team that are probably going to be standing out, how about Jonathan Jimenez? .288 average is just a freshman. He looks like he will be a prominent player on this team. Kendall Montgomery, a big-time athlete there at Rising Sun, not only starring in soccer, but a basketball player, and on the baseball diamond as well. Damon Kerrigan, another great athlete that looks like he is going to be helping with this team. A lot of talent there for the Rising Sun Shiners, and certainly could see them cracking that top 10 sooner rather than later. Another area team that was just outside the top 10 in the preseason polls is the South Dearborn Knights. This is a team that's just a couple years removed from winning a sectional championship. I know they have Toby Tiki back. He's raring to go for his senior year. Been following along with some of his progress on the offseason on Twitter, getting a lot of batting practice in. Even in the midst of being a star player on the basketball team, Toby's still taking some cuts in the batting cage. Sweet left-handed swing there for Toby, even though he's a right-handed basketball player. But he's one of the leaders of this team, can certainly hit very well. And, man, when he gets out on the base pass, he can certainly make some things happen there in terms of stolen bases, stretching a single into a double, going first to third, scoring from second on a base hit to the outfield, things like that. Throw in guys like Reese Willoughby, Eli Hoffman, a lot of talent there at South Dearborn across the board in athletics, but baseball, one of their stronger sports currently, and with that sectional championship that they're going to be looking to defend, this team's going to have a chip on their shoulder. Obviously very talented, and we're looking forward to seeing what this team's going to do this spring on the baseball diamond. And to be quite frank with you, Crunch Time has never really gone deep into the spring. The show's always kind of run its course after the winter sports season, but this is going to be a good opportunity for us to get some of these area baseball, softball teams in, some of the other spring sports, put a highlight on them like never before. That's what Crunch Time is all about. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation each and every Monday evening from 6 to 6:30, thanks to our friends from OrthoSensi, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority right here in Lawrenceburg and across the tri-state. You can find out more about their services at orthosensi.com. All right, so let's move on to another topic here on Crunch Time. We mentioned Rising Sun Athletics a little bit earlier in the program and wanted to get to some more Rising Sun Athletics and actually talk a little bit about some of their star players that have gone on to play at the collegiate level. And there are eight individuals that are going to play spring sports, at their respective colleges and universities. You have Mitchell Morris, who's a senior baseball player for Thomas More University. Brent Turner, also a senior. He's been playing at Huntington University, a very good baseball player. Sydney Bostic, a sophomore for the Franklin College softball team. Danica Groover at Thomas More playing volleyball, just a sophomore. Braden Bush, a Muskingum University baseball player, just a sophomore. And then three young individuals that are going to be freshmen playing collegiate sports. Sydney Pitts and Kenzie Price going to both play for Franklin College's women's soccer team, and Stephen Jimenez will be a freshman playing baseball at Mount St. Joseph University. So you see a little bit of a theme there with Rising Sun Athletics, soccer and baseball among their better team sports at Rising Sun. Of course, the volleyball team has done some really nice things here in recent memory as well. And these kids have been playing well at the collegiate level, especially the ones that have been around for a little bit. And we'll start with Mitchell Morris here, and I got to give a shout-out to the folks who run the Shiners Athletic website. They did a nice job with this write-up, providing some of the information about these young men and women playing collegiate sports. And Mitchell Morris wasn't really that long ago, March 6th, lefty. Throws seven innings, complete game, no runs, three hits, two walks, struck out six batters, so off to a pretty good start this spring. Brent Turner, who we mentioned was in the same class as Mitchell Morris, pitches for the Huntington University team, and they're 12-3 already this season, and he's pitched pretty well in six appearances, going 13 1/3 innings with an ERA under 3.5. So Brent Turner getting it done for Huntington this year. To stick with the baseball theme, Braden Bush, sophomore, also a pitcher for the Fighting Muskies of Muskingum University. Toby Tiki's actually going to be joining that squad after his senior year at South Dearborn. But another lefty, a little bit of a theme there with Rising Sun and their pitching staff. But they're only 0-2, had a doubleheader with Mount Union. Braden's appeared in three games, one start. He's pitched 10 innings and has recorded 11 strikeouts, and his earned run average is 1.80 right now. So Braden getting it done as well. And then Stephen Jimenez, who is just a graduate of Rising Sun in 2020, he is going out to Mount St. Joseph's here locally to play his college ball. And in his first collegiate action, he pitched 2 2/3 innings of relief in a win over Bluffton. So congratulations to Stephen on making his college debut. And now to get to some of the young ladies that used to star for the Shiners, now they star for other teams on the collegiate level. Danica Groover, sophomore for the Saints volleyball team, and their season got shut down back in the fall, but now they're getting back into the action in the spring, so better late than never to get out on the 3-8 so far this year, so struggling a little bit, but Danica's playing some front row, middle hitter for the Saints, and has 50 kills and 20 blocks thus far, and she had a three-block game against the Cumberland team that Thomas More was a winner over here in recent memory. Now we mentioned Sydney Pitts and Kenzie Price, the Franklin College women's soccer team, and again, they're playing in the spring after having their season canceled in the fall, and they're both defensive players, and the team's just 1-1 on the season, and they are going to play, actually they just played Hanover last week, so that's always an intriguing matchup when those two teams get together, but certainly wish Sydney Pitts and Kenzie Price the best of luck as they're going to be playing together hopefully for 4 years there at Franklin College and doing some nice things for their defense. And then also wanted to get to Sydney Bostic, who's a sophomore for the Franklin softball team, which Franklin does a great job of plucking really great talent and student athletes from the Southeast Indiana area. But she starts either in left field or as a catcher. A nice versatility there for Sydney Bostic, playing two vastly different positions. But she is there because she can swing the bat. 4.55 average already this season, a couple doubles, and has knocked in six runs in eight games for Franklin College. So awesome to see these eight young men and women from Rising Sun really doing some nice things at the collegiate level. And this might be something we do throughout the spring back and look at some of the other area schools and what kind of high school athletes they had going on to play college, kind of catch up and see what their stats are like, how they're playing, how their teams are doing, and just kind of give everybody some insight into how those players are doing at the college level. Because a lot of times, these kids come through the high school ranks, and we have a lot of fun watching them and covering them during their different seasons and everything. But then once they go to college, we kind of lose touch with how they're playing, keep up with them, and stuff like that. So we want to make sure that we're doing that right here on Crunch Time. So starting with Rising Sun today because of an awesome write-up on the Shiners Athletic website. But we hope to do this for some of our other area schools in future episodes as well. So just a few more minutes to get to here on Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Learn more over at OrthoSensi.com about all their great services and doctors. And yes, this is a show that is mostly dedicated to high school sports. And in this springtime right now, spring break going on, there's maybe a little less happening on the high school playing front. So I do want to touch on a couple of local teams that play in the big city. Cincinnati Reds season right around the corner with a April 1st start date against the St. Louis Cardinals. It's nice to see they're going to have 30% capacity for opening day. So some folks are going to be able to get back in the ballpark and check out a game. They have announced that Luis Castillo will start opening day for the Reds. Sonny Gray would have been in contention to be the opening day starter, but has been dealing with some back spasms during spring training, and the Reds have kind of been banged up a little bit, specifically on their pitching staff. TJ Antone's been dealing with some lingering issues. Their bullpen guys are looking like they're starting to get healthy. Lucas Sims, Amir Garrett going to be two guys that are going to be anchoring that bullpen. They just got their first action in spring training within the last week, and luckily they've looked pretty good, and hopefully they're going to be strong to start the season. Joey Votto had dealt with a COVID-19 issue. He's back raring to go for the start of the season. Shogo Akiyama looks like he's going to be on the IL to start the season, so that kind of actually helps things in the outfield a little bit. You'll see Winker, Senzel, and Castellanos out there. It'll make David Bell's job a little bit easier, not having to shuffle between the four outfielders. And then some interesting things happening in the infield for the Reds as Eugenio Suarez has kind of moved over to shortstop. That was his former position coming up through the minor leagues. And, of course, he's been playing third for several years. But the Reds don't really have a lot of strong shortstop options. Kyle Farmer is certainly a plug-and-play guy at a lot of different positions. Gives you a lot of versatility off the bench. He's a good guy to have on the roster. But starting caliber shortstop, I'm not so sure. That's where Suarez comes into play. Moustakas looks like he might move over to third, which was his former position when he played for the Royals and a couple other teams before he came over to the Reds. And then Jonathan India, this is a guy that they drafted in the first round in the top five picks just a few years ago. He is tearing the cover off the ball in spring training, and sometimes that doesn't mean much. We saw Jose Garcia do that last year, and then he played shortstop and couldn't hit anything. But Jonathan India looks like he might be penciled in at second base on the opening day roster. That is if they don't want to mess with his service time. A lot of times when you have young guys that look like they can make the opening day roster, they don't want to bring them up too soon because then it kind of starts their service time, which means that they get to arbitration and free agency quicker. So sometimes you see teams tinker with those guys, and even though they're good enough to be on the major league roster, they sometimes send them down to the minor leagues just to prevent that player from hitting arbitration or free agency earlier than they would if they were on a normal path to the major leagues. But Reds should be halfway decent this year. I don't know that you could put them as one of the favorites in the National League. We certainly hope that they can play up to that level, but they got the Cardinals coming in on April 1st, and it'll certainly be an exciting day in these parts, as opening day always is. And finally, want to get to a couple Bengals notes, because they have been wildly active here over the last couple of weeks in free agency, and well, we got the draft in about 5 weeks, so it's a fun time to be a Bengals fan. They just shored up their offensive line over the weekend, Riley Reiff signing after he was let go from the Minnesota Vikings. He was just a salary cap casualty. They didn't get rid of him because he wasn't a good player. They got rid of him because they have other guys that maybe they prioritized in front of him and needed to pay them, or they got free agents they wanted to chase, so they just couldn't give him the amount of money that he was making there. But 9-year pro, he's had a solid career. He's very good in pass protection, and he's going to play right tackle for the Bengals. Jonah Williams is going to play left tackle. Coach Taylor saying those are his starting tackles to go into the season, so maybe that means they won't pick a tackle with the first pick in the with their first pick in the draft, the number five selection overall. And a lot of people will say, well, they probably should go offensive line so they protect Burrow and don't get him hurt like last year. But this is a deep offensive line draft. You can maybe get a playmaker in the first round and then protect him in the second round. There's a lot of different ways they can go, and signing Riley Reiff actually gives them options with that number five pick. I like Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU. He played with Joe Burrow. They had an amazing rapport. From all indications, he's an absolute stud. Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, another name I've been hearing a lot as well as an unguardable prospect at the tight end position. So just a few names with Penei Sewell, the top left tackle, presumably in the draft that the Bengals might be looking at. But signed some players as well on the defense, a couple corners, a new defensive tackle to replace Geno Atkins, who they let go. Also let go of Bobby Hart. Alex Erickson's out the door. They traded Ryan Finley. They did re-sign Brandon Wilson. Mike Thomas is back as a wide receiver depth piece. So the Bengals have been making some solid moves here in the offseason and really trying to improve on what was a so-so year for him last year. But Joe Burrow coming back, hopefully his leg's going to be strong. Riley Reiff protecting him on the right. Things can get a little bit better on offense, and Joe can stay upright, play all 17 games we think there's going to be this year, and maybe the Bengals can make some noise. That would certainly be an awesome, awesome thing. But they're maybe not done in free agency, freeing up some money with the Bobby Hart cut, the Geno Atkins cut, and maybe we see some other names come through here. They did not get Kenny Golladay, who was a nice wide receiver, a free agent out of Detroit. He's going to the New York Giants. But still, the Bengals overall have made some nice additions here this season in the offseason, and they still have some more additions to come via free agency and the draft, which is just a few weeks away. So I do believe it's an exciting time to be a Bengals fan, but there will always be a pessimistic thought from the fan base just based on the history of the team. But I'm trying to think positive and hoping for good things coming up from our area teams, whether that's going to be on the high school, college, or pro level. I really appreciate everybody tuning in to Crunch Time each and every Monday, 6 to 6:30, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation presented by our friends at OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We have some really cool episodes coming up in the near future. We're going to have guests back in now that we're kind of getting through spring break, and we'll have some of the high school athletes starting to cycle back through, and we got some cool stuff coming up. So make sure you're staying tuned to your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. And thank you so much one more time for listening. It's Eagle Country 99.3, and this has been Crunch Time.